Welcome to the NewsHour. Tonight, mediators in the Israel-Hamas war are working to win another extension of a six-day-old pause in fighting. The current temporary ceasefire ends early tomorrow.
Israel says it's willing to continue the ceasefire if Hamas keeps releasing hostages. But Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu also reaffirmed today his commitment to continue the war and seek the destruction of the terrorist group.
In the last few days, I've heard the question, if after this phase of returning our abductees is exhausted, will Israel return to fighting? So my answer is unequivocally yes. There is no chance that we won't resume the fighting until the end.
In the meantime, Hamas released 10 more Israeli hostages, including one with American citizenship. President Biden confirmed she is now safe in Egypt. Hamas also freed two Russians and four Thai nationals who were driven into Egypt. Israel was also releasing 30 Palestinians from jail, including 16 minors and 14 women. Hamas also claimed that the youngest hostage, 10-month-old Kfir Bibas, was killed in an Israeli bombing before the ceasefire. The group said that the child's 4-year-old brother and his mother also died. The Israeli military said it's now investigating that claim.
And in the West Bank, Palestinian health officials said Israeli troops killed two young boys during a raid in Jenin. They were identified as Adam Samer Al-Ghul, who was 8 years old, and Basel Suleiman Abu Al-Wafa, who was 15. The Israeli military did not confirm the shooting, but it did say troops killed two Islamic Jihad militants in a separate incident. Let's turn now to Aaron David Miller, senior fellow at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace and a longtime State Department official in both Democratic and Republican administrations. Thanks for being with us. As we reported, talks are ongoing to extend the pause in fighting to allow for the release of more hostages and Palestinians held by Israel. At this point, what are the prospects for another extension and what might it yield?
I think from the Israeli perspective, the Netanyahu government has no choice but to play Hamas's cruel game. If, in fact, Hamas has additional women and children, perhaps a number in the vicinity of 20. I think the Israelis are perfectly prepared to continue the hostage for prisoner release. And diplomats, Americans, Qataris, Egyptians are still working perhaps on a broader set of exchanges that could involve adult males and females, reserve military, and active duty military that Hamas is holding. So I think it serves the interests right now of both Hamas and Israel if, in fact, you can create a predictable and reliable channel in coming days to continue the hostage for prisoner exchange. At some point, the string's going to be played out, however. There's no doubt about it.
Well, the military personnel who are being held hostage, the men young enough to be called up for military service, Hamas has said that it will demand a higher price for people who fall into those categories. What might that be?
You know, I think if past this prologue here, it's another asymmetrical trade. In 1985, in 2011, the Israelis traded, 2011 in particular, for the return of Gilad Shalit. It took 6 years to produce it. In 2011, the Israelis traded 1,079 Palestinian prisoners in Israeli jails for Shalit's return. So I think the price, I don't know what the ratio would be, but it'll be another asymmetrical trade. I'm not entirely sure the Israelis are willing, depending on what Hamas's conditions are, to play that game. Part of the problem is that these hostages are not all controlled by Hamas. Palestine Islamic Jihad has some, and if reports are true, then some of these families or clans have taken hostages in the wake of October 7th in an effort to trade them for money or some other bargain.
Prime Minister Netanyahu is adamant that fighting will resume when the truce lifts. But is there any universe in which these series of short-term extensions could lead to a longer-term ceasefire to bring this war to a close?
I think the chances of that are happening are absolutely zero. That, of course, would hand Hamas an extraordinary victory. To be able to survive this onslaught, to get Palestinian prisoners in the process, to pull off the largest terrorist attack in the history of the State of Israel and a single bloodiest day for Jews since the Nazi Holocaust, should such a ceasefire be proposed, I doubt whether the Israelis will accept it. And right now, America's key ally, the Biden administration, doesn't seem to be interested in it either. No, I think the ground campaign, in some fashion, here I think the Biden administration can have an impact in shaping or reshaping what the Israelis plan to do in Gaza in an effort to try to minimize the tragic deaths of exponential deaths of Palestinians that we've seen and the destruction in northern Gaza.
Israel's goal of rooting out Hamas, that's the objective. What does the mission look like at this point?
If the war stopped today, the Israelis would have failed. Hamas's military structure above ground, below ground, its leadership remains intact. Even in northern Gaza, where the Israelis have operated, there's still a Hamas presence. So I think the Israeli objective, eradication of Hamas, killing all of its senior leadership, if what the Israelis intend by that is that there will not be residual Hamas presence, and Hamas will not survive in some fashion, some form, even as a political movement, I think that probably is unachievable. The cost here is an issue, and so is the amount of time that the Israelis would have to spend. We're talking not weeks, but months. If we're talking about an eradication strategy, I'm not sure it's achievable. And one final point, they're not going to eliminate Hamas as an organization. It's the embodiment of an idea, and that idea is the destruction of Israel and the creation of an Islamic state. That idea is likely to live on, sadly, tragically, in the minds of too many Palestinians who right now, an entire generation, I think is going to be shaped by this war and traumatized, not to mention the Israelis, who will also emerge from this conflict traumatized. It doesn't leave much hope or promise for the emergence of leaders on either side to turn this parade of horrors into something that you and I would consider an equitable and durable resolution of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. We're much farther from that point in the wake of October 7th, I'm afraid.
Aaron David Miller, thanks as always for your insights.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.